Today we're talking with Lisa Noonan. She's the president of the Human Resources Association of Southern Maine, or HRASM, as it's commonly called. Lisa, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
You know, people who are out there may not know exactly what a SHRM chapter is. We have had a guest on from SHRM who has talked about the national SHRM and all the information that's provided by SHRM itself, both to employees and employers. And they mentioned in their discussions about local chapters. But, you know, we're in a local market here. We do broadcast national, but we are in a local market. Tell me a little bit about why, or first, what HRASM is all about.
Well, HRASM was developed back in 1975. And really, it's all about advancing the profession and supporting the members that are in that association. So we're actually one of seven chapters in the state of Maine, and we're affiliated with the National Association, Society for Human Resource Management. And our membership is very diverse. It is diverse from industry, across industries. It's diverse from level of expertise, from the newly a new practitioner to a more seasoned practitioner, as well as diverse membership as to who belongs. We have HR practitioners, we have law firms, financial firms. It's really a very diverse group who comes together to learn more about HR.
Obviously, as a member of the HRASM, which I am, I'm certainly familiar with it. So when somebody joins, and they obviously have to pay dues to be a member, and so what do they get for those dues? What is it that they would go to a meeting, and you know, if I did not know what I know, what would be enticing me to go?
Well, the primary reasons people become members of HRASM is, number one, networking. And as we know, today, networking is more important than anything if you want to advance your career or look at different fields for another employment opportunity. The second is really educational opportunities. We have a great lineup of programs that provide a lot of information about HR, ranging from compliance issues to reasons for employing diversity initiatives in your organization. So those are typically the top two reasons. For HRASM, we also offer another big benefit, which is really member appreciation. And we do that through offering scholarships for people to advance their HR knowledge or to pursue HR certification, which is becoming more and more important in positions and organizations. So I would say those are the top three reasons why someone would become a member.
When they're thinking about membership, and maybe there's an owner out there or a president or CEO or a director that says to themselves, geez, why should I as a company think of paying to have somebody to go there? Because obviously it's a choice that either the company might pay or the person or the individual may decide to do and pay that. Why would you say that a company should think about sending a member of their team, whether it's the HR director, the VP, or other members, individual contributors, to these types of organizations? And then the second part of that would be more than one. Should they send two, three? I mean, what's the benefit to that part of it?
I would say the main reason why someone would advocate to become a member or an organization would pay the money for them to become a member is for those exact same reasons I just indicated before, the networking opportunities. You know, a lot of times, and especially in Maine where it's smaller businesses, we're talking about a lone HR practitioner. They don't have the opportunity to discuss the challenges that they may face on a daily or long-term situation with other people in the organization. And so when our members attend these meetings, we do see some sharing of ideas and sharing of challenges. And the benefit to a lot of people is that those seasoned professionals have seen a lot. And so they're able to share their expertise. The other reason is really the educational opportunities. One of our best attended programs is our legal update, which happens every January. And we are covering a range of topics at that meeting, as you know, David, in which it's imperative that businesses are aware of these new laws or regulations so that they don't fall in the crosshairs of the Department of Labor. And then, of course, the third, like I said, the scholarships. The HR certification, and that is the professional in human resources or the senior professional in human resources, that is a body of knowledge that really every HR practitioner should consider for their future development, as well as a real benefit to the organization. And so the membership offers those scholarships for people to pursue those types of certifications.
And you're really talking about the PHR and the SPHR and the global.
Absolutely.
SPHR. So, I mean, if we're talking about somebody getting this certification, I certainly know as an HR professional that more and more companies are looking for certified professionals, people who have one of their certifications. As a matter of fact, we've had some guests on in the last few weeks that talk about this in depth and also talk about some new programs and courses that are out there for certificates, as well as, you know, other ways to get their education, whether it be master's or bachelor's in HR. So I think all of that is critical for somebody to get their education in the HR community. But experience is invaluable. And I think that's probably, as you said, the key of going to a meeting and hearing from someone who's already dealt with an issue.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times we have our days planned out and then something happens at the organization that was unexpected. And if you haven't had the opportunity to have to work through that, that can be a very daunting exercise for someone, especially a lone practitioner. So to be able to have those conversations with more seasoned professionals and get a broader scope or a more global viewpoint of sort of the ramifications of whatever those decisions are is extremely helpful.
You talked about programs. Mm-hmm. The organization puts on programs every month, and they meet where and when? What's the date and when does the organization meet?
Well, this year we actually changed locations. We now meet at the Clarion Hotel in Portland. And the meetings are change up every month. One is a breakfast and one is a lunch. So in January, it's typically a luncheon. And then in February, breakfast and so on throughout the year. We do not have meetings in July and August. So we have a summer break.
That's because, of course, all the HR are on the beach during the summer, right?
Let's hope.
It's the place to go. Well, last week on the show, we had Eric Peterson, and he is one of these SHRM trainers that comes up, and he talked a lot about diversity. I actually saw him at the last HRASM program, and I think that he is a great example of the talent that these HRASM meetings present, because you can't get that type of talent all the time out there without having to pay for it and to bring it into your organization with a cost.
Right. And that has been a challenge for this association over the years. I think the difference this year is many moons ago, I was the vice president of programming. And at that time, I thought to myself that if I'm ever in the position of being president, I'm going to make sure that that budget line item is substantial enough to support bringing in other speakers besides local and even regional. And so that's what the board did. We really took somewhat of a new approach, developed a strategic vision for the programming committee, and then provided the financial support for them in order to meet that vision.
Well, as the new president this year, you've had an opportunity to really shape that vision, right, for the next year or two as you take your reign. And by the way, congratulations. I think it's awesome. I know you've been waiting for it in the last few years as you work through the chapter and up in the ranks and so forth. But, I think that what we're really talking about is that's the key to membership, I think, is getting good programs that people want to really see and hear and learn from.
Absolutely.
And we're going to come back to that conversation when we return. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Lisa Noonan. She's the president of HRASM. And we've been talking really about not only what's going on with the organization and why somebody should join, but the programming that has to do with each month's event and how critical that is. So before we left, I'd asked the question, and we had talked a little bit about how critical programming is. So tell me what you're seeing about the future that's critical about it. Tell me why it gets people off their seats, it gets them out of the office to that breakfast or that afternoon show, and tell me what your position is on that.
Well, programming is really the lifeblood of the association. If you don't have good programming, you're not going to have members. And, of course, members' dues pay for all those things that you want to do as an association. So the vision really that the board set forth in that programming was to make sure that it benefited businesses, that HR is seen as a business partner, not as a siloed department, and that our membership understands the impact on the bottom line. So one of the challenges that we see with programming is, and I think everyone, you know, even outside of HR, faces this challenge every day, is why should I go to this program when I have so much work that I have on my desk to do? And so really what's important for us is to make sure that that programming brings an educational benefit to our membership, as well as has a practical application. So we don't want our members to just come and listen to someone. We want them to walk away with one or two takeaways that they can implement in either their tactical or strategical plan for the future. That, to me, is very important, because I can tell you my experience in going to meetings or conferences, I have a level of frustration if I'm not walking out of there without a new piece of information that I can utilize pretty quickly.
Well, I think it's monthly reminders, too, of something you can do differently. I mean, you go to a convention and look, you know, we talk about the main HR convention coming up in a few weeks here. It's a fantastic conference. It's 4 days. Heather and Bud and, at the New England Law Publishers do an amazing job. And you come out of there with an incredible amount of information. It's incredible, the total takeaway. And at the end of the day, you're still going to use only bits and pieces of all that you learn there. Well, this is a monthly hit that can remind you of how to do something a little better, or can retool you slightly in a way that helps. And maybe you network with somebody and solve a problem that you hadn't thought of. So that to me really sums up a huge benefit for going to a meeting each month. Even though maybe the topic is something that you go, well, that may not be fully engaging or what my cup of tea is, but you know, I'm going to go anyway, and I'm going to make that happen.
Right. Well, and we see that, you know, that's one of the challenges of programming, is to make sure that we can capture as much of an interest in that diverse audience as we can. We're not going to hit it 100% every month. But to your point, what I'm hopeful is that if someone is there listening to a program and they don't necessarily get something educational or something that they can use immediately, then it may be something they can use down the line, or they've had a conversation with a table mate that is providing them some information that they couldn't get anywhere else.
Sure. Tell me about how the Human Resource Association of Southern Maine is a benefit to the community, to the state of Maine.
One of the things that is very important to the board and is part of really our affiliation with SHRM is that we have certain core leadership areas. And some of those core leadership areas are really charged with developing initiatives that will either benefit the membership or benefit the community at large. We've had a couple of longstanding volunteer opportunities in the community. One is Crossroads for Women, and the other is the Wyndham Correctional, in which we send members who volunteer their own time. It is not paid. They go in to work with these individuals to talk about interviewing skills, really the steps they need to take to get their next employment. So, you know, the association has a much broader impact than just on our members. It really is community.
Well, you know, I think that's critical today as, you know, the next generation keeps moving up and they are so community focused and so community driven that they want to see a give back. Mm-hmm. And I think that SHRM does a lot of give backs. And, you know, here at the local level, that's great. I know those programs have been very successful, and I think that that's key. One of the other things you talked about is scholarships. Talk a little bit about what they are and what they're, you know, I know they're for benefits, but if you give more details about it, would be great.
Sure. The scholarships are really based on education, and there are different ways in which people can pursue education. They can pursue education through the certification program, which we referenced earlier, the PHR, the SPHR, the GPHR. The monies can be used for taking classes at a local higher education institution. It can be used for attending the main HR convention, such as the one that's being held at the Samoset in May. So those are three opportunities that we offer through the scholarship program to our members.
You're the new president.
Yes.
So what is your one or two top priority this year, personally, to make a difference in the organization? And for somebody who maybe had been part of the organization and might think, is it the same as it's always been? What is a difference that you're planning to make?
It's
yes,
funny.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Well, and you know, that's the beauty of the way the presidency is set up. So for 2 years, you're a president-elect, and 2 years, you're president. And so during the course of those 2 years, I really got the chance to think about what my legacy would be and really the impact that I wanted to make. And one of those things is to make sure that our membership felt very inclusive. That would be for the current membership, any new members, and also to reach out to businesses as well, so that there are folks out there who are responsible for certain HR items that may not have been educated in HR. For example, you may have a small construction firm that the finance person is responsible for the HR. And that can be very difficult because, frankly, HR is a big enough job by itself. So what I want to do is make sure that our programming reflects an opportunity and really a benefit for those folks to come. So those two things, as well as grow our membership. You know, it, as I said, it's the lifeblood of the association. It's so important. And it really benefits everyone to have an even more diverse group.
What's the membership currently?
We are at about 250 members.
That's a good size group.
It is.
Largest chapter in Maine, I'm assuming.
It is.
Oh, that's
and
great.
It primarily, we draw from Brunswick all the way down to York.
Do you think that when somebody is really looking at getting in the leadership of the HRASM, let's say they've been part of the group and they've said to themselves, well, maybe I should think about the leadership part of it. What would be the benefit to being on the board? What would be the benefit of doing some of the community work that is done and leading in that role?
Well, I think it gives you a very good idea of HR itself. By coming on to the board, you certainly learn the different aspects of governing a large association. You learn about budgeting. You have to be a really forward-thinking individual to develop those initiatives to grow the association. When I'm at a general meeting, I like to sit at different tables and have conversations with people and ask them about their interest in being part of the board. I think it's imperative that the board has new blood on it regularly, because I think people can get stuck in a rut. So I encourage anyone and everyone to consider spending some time on the board and understanding the challenges, but also understanding the benefits of being part of that group.
I think you said it well. You know, it's funny that, you know, we've been talking now for half hour on the HRASM, and that's not even your real job. I mean, this is just the volunteer job you do as president. I know you work here in Portland, and you're the COO for the Park Danforth, correct?
That's correct.
That's great. How's business over there?
It's great. You know, we are an organization that is looking to grow and expand, and of course, senior communities and the aging is a huge sector. So it's a very exciting time to be part of the organization.
No, that's great, and it does great work. Well, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. You talked a lot about the Human Resource Association of Southern Maine and a lot about, you know, what really the benefits are of it. And good luck with your presidency over these 2 years.
Well, thank you so much for having me, David.
No, I appreciate it very much. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.